الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، صدق الله العظيم. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما مجادلة أحدكم في الحق يكون له في الدنيا بأشد مجادلة من المؤمنين لربهم في إخوانهم الذين دخلوا النار قال يقولون ربنا إخواننا كانوا يصلون معنا ويصومون معنا ويحجون معنا فأدخلتهم النار قال فيقول اذهبوا فأخرجوا من عرفتم منهم قال فيؤتونهم فيعرفونهم بصورهم فمنهم من أخذته النار إلى أنصاف ساقيه ومنهم من أخذته إلى كعبيه فيخرجونهم فيقولون ربنا أخرجنا من أمرتنا ويقول أخرج من كان في قلبه وزن دينار من الإيمان ثم قال من كان في قلبه وزن نصف دينار حتى يقول من كان في قلبه وزن ذرة. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت الحليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. درش فلنا Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, we have covered many important subjects and events that are to be witnessed by every individual in the future in the form of minor signs of Qiyamah, major signs of Qiyamah, also how the ruh, the soul, is extracted out from the body, also how Israfil alayhi salatu wasalam will blow into the trumpet, and that very, very long day, the day of Qiyamah, كَانَ مِكْدَارُهُ خَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةً, that day which is as long as 50,000 years. Many, many events will take place on that day, and much have been covered, alhamdulillah, by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A day in which no monetary recompense will help anyone. In this world today, we can give money to someone in the form of rishwats, and things happen. But on the day of Qiyamah, there is no such thing as rishwats. There is no such thing as connections. A day in which the evildoer will have to pay the claimant by his good deeds. And when his good deeds expire, then he will have to carry out the burden of his sins on his shoulder. Many, many things will happen. For some, a day of great anxiety, pain, and for some that day will be a day of great jubilation, kamyabi, salvation, a day of joy. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah make that day easy for us, inshaAllah ta'ala, with the barakat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala, a grand companion of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he met his close friend Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiyallahu ta'ala, he said to him, Ya Abdul Rahman, I can take a qasam and oath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of three things that will occur on the day of Qiyamah, if you are prepared to take qasam on the fourth thing. Now this was the style of how the Arabs would speak. It may sound a bit unnatural to us that he wants to take three three qasams and he's requesting the person in front to take the last qasam. But that was the magic of that language. They understood each other. That is how they spoke. That is how they understood each other. That was their culture. That is how they would speak the Arabic language. And this type of kalam, conversation, would only take place to make sure that what I am telling you is nothing but the truth. It will occur 101%. I will take three qasams, you take the one qasam. And he said that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will befriend all those people that He befriended in the world. Those who are the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the world will be the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter, and that is a guarantee. Ala inna awliya Allah, Allah says, those who are the wali of Allah, the friends of Allah, those due to their taqwa and piety and their good actions, spiritually they become very, very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for them la khawfun, they have got nothing to fear of. Wala hum yahzanun, they will face no difficulty, nothing in the grave, nothing in the hereafter. They will be completely protected. And the subject that was touched on this Jummah, my respected brothers, again, a subject that is very, very important. Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam said that a person can change his religion because of his company. A person can change his religion because of his company. A lot of people can become atheists. A lot of people are affected by the evil company that is around. That is why it is extremely important, my respected brothers, that we choose and select the right companions. And if someone is bad in his nature, then again a beautiful adab is taught to us in the Quran. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ, when you see someone who is a jahil, who is illiterate, who has no character, then you simply say to him, Assalamu alaikum. What do you say? If he is your Muslim brother, you don't ignore him, you say Assalamu alaikum. Exactly what Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said to his father after working on him for several years. And the father then warned Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam that now I will stone you to death. Rajam kar dunga. At that point, he did not want to dishonor and disrespect his father. Very politely he said to the father, Salamun alaik. I am leaving you and making salam to you and going away. And in the sharia, in his sharia perhaps, this was jaiz. But in the sharia of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salam to kuffar is not jaiz. So we have to be very, very selective, my respected brothers. Look at the selection that was made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not deviating from my topic, inshallah. I'm going to go right back into the topic. The selection that was made for the most beloved, Rahmatul lil Alameen, Sayyidul Awwaleen wal Akhirin, Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best of people was selected for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The companions, Ashabi Kiram, the Muhajireen and the Ansar, the most elite from humanity, the most elite. So powerful. And from that elite, again, the two who are known as Shaykhain, very, very close to Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and Hazrat Umar Farooq. Very close. To Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would keep them close and would make mashwira with them. Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam would start his salat making sure that we, in the time that we live in today, we have the muazzin behind us. Behind Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam, two places were reserved. One was for Abu Bakr Siddiq and one was for Umar Farooq. The best selection was given to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. the very best. The two wazir, the advisor of Huzur alayhi salatu wassalam, Abu Bakr Siddiq and Hazrat Umar Farooq. And normally when I say advisors, I don't mean superior ma'azallah in any way. They were the khuddam. They were absolutely obedient to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And up in the heavens, the best selection was made for Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam. The two wazir which he had was Jibreel Amin and Hazrat Mikael alayhi salatu wasalam. The two. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, his khadim, Yusha bin Nun, in the story of Surah Al-Kahf, the last ending story, when he went to meet Hazrat Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam, his khadim was with him, whose name was Yusha bin Nun, who had a fish with him, and it's a long story. Hazrat Yusha bin Nun stayed in the khidmat of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. The barakat of that was that Allah gave him risalat, Allah gave him nabuwat, and he became later on the prophet of his community. Following khidmat of Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So friends are extremely important, my respected brothers. Friends. And the things that can really affect us and the Iman today, in the time that we live in today, is good company and bad company. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that if you work with the blacksmith every day, then surely one day your clothes will get burnt. I mean, this is an example that if you are not in the right company, it will affect you. One day, no matter how careful you are, but your clothes will be burnt. But if you are in the company of a perfumer who sells fragrance, fitr, khushbu, then it's nothing. But when you come out from that shop, you will come out smelling fresh and good. Good fragrance will be with you. This is the barakat of good company and evil company. That is why it is a must, my respected brothers and elders, that we take this very, very seriously, even for the mothers and sisters listening at home. Extremely important that Muslims who live in this country, we need our own schools. We have our Darul Ulooms, Alhamdulillah. We need our nurseries. We need our junior schools, senior schools, whatever. We need our private schools. Extremely important. We have the wealth, Alhamdulillah, and we need to work in these avenues that are around us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. It's not difficult and it is not easy. Everything comes with qurbani. But good friendship is very, very important. That is extremely important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. So he said that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has befriended someone in the world, then he will be the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. There is no pressure, there is no trouble for that individual. Abdul Rahman bin Auf said that 101% I agree to that. The oath you take is valid. Secondly, he said that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has concealed the sins of an individual in the world, then rest assured, Allah will not expose his sins in the hereafter also. Allah will conceal his sins also on the day of Qiyamah. We learn from the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a lot of people have this habit of sometimes breaking the news that I did that, I did that, I did that, and it is guna. And you are opening something that Allah kept a secret, which is in some cases gunai kabira, a major sin. It is haram totally. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept it quiet, then you keep it quiet. And it is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Repent and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall forgive you. Unless you are living in an Islamic country where Islamic sharia and Islamic law is being practiced, and then you are caught, you'll be prosecuted, and the law of Sharia will be implemented on that individual. Like Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the same Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was once traveling and he came to this group of people who were singing, and one very famous musician in the Arabs at that time, he was known. Even today, we have a lot of the Arabs who sing and songs as in with music, which is haram again. He was a famous musician. Beautiful voice was given to him. His name was Zazan. Kya naam tha? Zazan. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala was walking and he saw that a group of people were dancing and Zazan was there playing the beats and the music and singing. And Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud folded his hand and he looked at Hazrat Zazan in the eye and he said that how nice it would be if Zazan would recite the Quran in that manner instead of music. Instead of something that is haram. Saying that, he looked down and he walked away. But again, these were awliyaullah, sulaha, that when the eye is fallen on an individual, operation is successful. Pura operation ho jata. These were Allah wa ala waliyullah. I remember when my Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Ghulam Habib Naqshbandi, rahmatullah alayhi, when he came to Birmingham, he met a few young people. And like, Imam, you want to come close to me? Don't be shy, come close to me, I want to do something to you. Sit here. And Hazrat would say that, Are nojawan, mashallah, dari rakhlo. Okay, you can go back. that don't mean you miss the next class, okay? And he says, mashallah, dari rakhlo. And this was his karamat. And that is all he would say with great love and affection. MashaAllah, kitna achha pyara chehra hai beta, dari rakh lo. And he would just put his hands there. Aur fir majal thi kisi ki, that person would not have the ability to hold a razor blade in his hands again and shave. Khalas. That was the karamat of Maulana Ghulam Habib Naqshbandi rahmatullah alayh. That was his karamat. And every youth that came to him, he would say, MashaAllah, hey, dari rakh lo, dari rakh lo. And till today, when I go to Birmingham, President Saddam Hussein Mosque. Saddam Hussein got a long life, you know. Ye bichare, Amerikhi log kya karenge? Birmingham mein hi masjid hai. If you go to Saddam Hussein Mosque, and you see, MashaAllah, the converts there, the West Indians, who are Christians, and have embraced Islam and are murids of Maulana Ghulam Habib Naqshbandi rahmatullah alayhi wa shaykh. And even they have got beards. Once upon a time they had dreadlocks, big hair, and all sorts of things. And when you see them in the mosque, you wonder what is happening here. Like Bob Marley is worshipped, where is it, in Barbados and in that part of that area. He is worshipped, literally worshipped. His music is worshipped. I think Abidin were talking about it. Someone said that's surprising. And these people still have a beard. That is the karamat. These are awliyaullah sulaha. Abdullah ibn Masood is a companion, and that is all what he said. A famous musician, Zazan, when he finished his music, he came and he said to that person, he says, one member of the public who was looking at me, who had a scarf around him, who is he? He says, you don't know him? He is the famous faqih of Iraq, who is the companion of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, tell me what he said. He says, you really want to hear? He said that how nice it would be if Zazan, the famous musician, would recite the Quran in that tone, like how he is singing a song. And one other thing is also very, very important. Allahu Akbar. You have to read Quran not in that musical tone. That is haram. That is haram. That is not jayz. You have to read Quran in that natural way. Allah has given each individual that power, that gift of recitation. And it should not sort of be in the form of music. That is haram also. And it made such an impact on Zazan radiallahu ta'ala that straight away he met Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and he gave his hands in front of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and he said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Ya Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. And he broke all the instruments, musical instruments, and it is said that Hazrat Zazan rahmatullah alayhi till today is known in the Arab world as one of the greatest qari Islam has ever produced. Greatest qari. He was a mahir in Quran, he was a great qari of his time. Not only was he a qari, but he was a great faqih. He became the qari of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala. That is why, my respected brothers, nek aadmiyon ki sohbat mein rehna, ye ek mustaqil ne'mat hai. Allah paak mujhe bhi tawfeeq de, ke main bhi kisi ka khadim ban jaun, aap hazrat ko bhi tawfeeq de, ke hum bhi Allah walon ki sohbat mein rahe. Alhamdulillah, they are great scholars all around the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them. Pious people. Pious people, you don't even have to be an alim to have taqwa. Ye koi zaruri nahi. You don't even have to be an alim. You can be a abid. You can be sincere, you can be mukhlis, you can be just a normal person. Yet in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your status is very, very high. So, two things I mentioned. One was that if Allah has concealed your sins in this world, then in the hereafter Allah will not expose it. So it is our duty also not to expose sins. In the hadith it comes that if one Muslim brother helps another Muslim brother in this world, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will alleviate his taklif, his difficulty on the day of Qiyamah. Allah will help you. That is why supporting each other is very, very important. The third thing Abdullah ibn Mas'ud mentioned, he said is that al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba, that on the day of Qiyamah a person will be standing with that individual who he loved the most, and that is also in the hadith. If you have the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you might die in Leicester, you might be buried in the Leicester cemetery, but on the day of Qiyamah, you will be standing with Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is not difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fourth thing, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said to Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Awf radiallahu ta'ala, he said that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not treat the Muslims, the believers, like how he will treat the kuffar in any way. The Muslims will never be treated like that, like how Allah will treat the kuffar. That is why Allah is al-adl, the all-just, to such an extent that if kufr in the heart is to a very high degree, then he will be punished in that way. That Jahannam will be given to him. But if kufr is not so much deep into the heart, but he is a kafir, then he will be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to that category. Like in the case of iman, if the iman is very, very to a higher degree, strong iman, then a very high jannat will be given to him. The highest point of jannat is Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are categories of jannat, and there are categories, levels of Jahannam also. Allahu Akbar. It is said that Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Jibreel Amin once, that Jibreel, describe to me the doors of Jahannam. Are they like earthly doors? And Jibreel Amin says, Ya Rasulullah, nothing like earthly doors. These doors are so massive and so vast. The width of it is 70 years. Each door is 70 times hotter than the next door in front. It is said that when the kuffar will be dragged and pushed towards the door of Jahannam, they will be handcuffed, the bodies will be yoked. It is said that chains will be put into their mouth and it will come out from the back part. The hands will be handcuffed and they will be thrown into Jahannam. And when they will be thrown into Jahannam, in the hadith it comes that their jinn will also be thrown into Jahannam with them. That shaitan was appointed to deviate that individual from the right path, to move him away from Sirat-e-Mustaqim. He will enter Jahannam with that person. At that point he will be crying and saying to that shaitan that only if I did not know you, only if I did not follow you. Shaitan will say, I did not do anything. What I said to you, you obeyed me. It is not my fault, it is your fault. And they will be thrown into Jahannam. Jibreel Amin went on to describe Jahannam, my respected brothers. And he said to Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, O Prophet of Allah, the most severe punishment will be given to those people who are in the last level of Jahannam, right on the ground floor, right down. And the azab in that part of Jahannam, in that section, is so severe and so painful that one cannot even imagine. And that Jahannam is known as Hawiya. Kya naam hai Jahannam ka? Hawiya. All in the Quran, may Allah save us from this Jahannam. Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. The munafiqeen will enter Hawiya. Asfal means the lowest part of Jahannam. And Fir'aun and his army will be in that part of Jahannam with the hypocrites, with the munafiqeen, with those who were in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In front of him they said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And when they left his company, they were the enemies of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all the munafiqeen will be in that part of Hawiya. Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, then, which is the other part of Jahannam? He said, the other part of Jahannam, above that Jahannam, is a Jahannam called Jaheen. Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ وَإِنَّ الْفُجَّارَ لَفِي جَحِيمٍ. And in that Jaheen, that is the name of Jahannam, in that Jaheen will be the Mushrikeen. Will be the Mushrikeen. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Mushrikeen, those who associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what I said today in Jummah. And Alhamdulillah, what I said stands in such a way, the ulama have said it, in this day and age, 2002, isn't it? Nikah is only jais when both the parties are Muslims. Both the parties. Allah gives hidayat to who He likes. But nikah is not jais today if a person says that, okay, she or he is a Christian, or she or he is a Jew. And because they are the people of the book, it is jais for us to make nikah. No, absolutely no. Maulana Yusuf Ludhiani rahmatullah alayhi's fatwa, his fatwa was accepted throughout the world. Aapke Masail aur Unka Hal is a beautiful kitab in Urdu. In there, he has said, someone said to him that a lady was married to a Muslim and then she married a Christian. From that Christian person, she got two kids. Two children, and then people said to her that, ask Mufti Sahab, is this nikah valid? Mufti Sahab said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. How can you marry someone who is a Christian? They are Christians by their name, they are not the people of the book today. Which book are you talking about? Even the Bible that they give you is just a story book. So that is very, very important, my respected brothers. Nikah is only jais when both the parties are Muslims. That is what has happened. When the Muslims were living in Andalusia, Alhamdulillah, the Iman was strong. And when they married, not the Trinitarian Christians, they married Unitarian Christians. In Andalusia, Andalusia is Spain and Portugal put together. When the Muslims came, the Berbers from the south, Morocco, when they came, they had Moroccan wives and then they had Portuguese and Spanish wives. And they converted them, Alhamdulillah, by their good character. And all of them became Muslims within a matter of 2 to 3 years. There were mosques everywhere, masajid everywhere. Why? Because they were Unitarian Christians. That is why, subhanAllah, the French from the top, when the Christian army came, they did not agree to the Spanish Christians that were there, who only took Isa alayhi salatu wa salam to be the messenger of Allah. Took the messenger of Allah. And they accepted Muslims because they found Muslims to be more compatible to them
and they were close to them, they had the same aqeedah, they were sharing everything that was the same. When they would make zabah, they would say, they would take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the name of Allah they would cut and slaughter. And all of them became Muslim. But what happened in South America? In South America, when this great immigration took place, when all our Middle Eastern Arab brothers, when they went to Latin America, the Iman was not strong. The Iman was not strong and they intermarried. And they married Mexican and Argentinian and Brazilian women that were there. And slowly they could not defend and protect and secure. If they protected the Iman, but the future children, they became Christians and they lost their language and all sorts of things have happened. So my respected brothers, if ulama have said something, it is not there that they don't want, they want to tighten everything in Islam. No. It is only when they see what is in the Quran and what is in the Hadith. Maulana Dawood Sahab was telling me today that in the time of Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, I forget the name of one companion, he married a Christian woman. He was a Sahabi. In the time of Khilafat of Hazrat Umar Farooq. When Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala heard of that, he wrote a letter that how can you marry someone who has got this aqaid? How can you? And he said to Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, Hazrat, I was of the opinion that you could marry women of Ahl Kitab. Hazrat Umar Farooq said, no. Allahu Akbar. They are no longer Ahl Kitab. And this was in the time of Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. And the more elite you are, the more powerful you are, you have to be extremely careful. That is why in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was to a limit in the first period of time, in the first few years, to promote Islam, it was jais for the companions to marry Christian women and Jewish women. The early companions in the early time, it was jais. But it was never jais for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to marry a Christian woman or a Jewish woman. Never. It was never jais. That is why all these ladies who came, Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala, Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam, made it very clear that if you wish, you can return back to your tribe, Banu Nadir, and live as a, with your Jewish tribe and do whatever you want. Or if you wish, you can stay with us here, but with one condition. If you want to stay with me, you will have to embrace Islam, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is what she did. So that is very, very important, my respected brothers. Allahu Akbar, where were we in the tabaqat of Jahannam? Where the mushrikeen will be the idolaters in the second last level. And that Jahannam is known as Jaheen. Inshallah, I'll finish off very quickly. I won't take much of your time. And above that, is a Jahannam which is known as Saqar. What Jahannam is it? Saqar. In that Jahannam will be the people of Sabi'een. Sabi'een was a community that lived in the time, according to some of the Mufassireen, they were in Iraq, on one side of Iraq, and according to some of the scholars, they were also in Yemen. And the Queen of Sheba, Bilqis, was also connected with them, but later on in the time of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam, she embraced Islam and she married Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam. And they would worship the stars and the moons and the planets. They will be in that part of Jahannam which is Saqar. And above that Jahannam is another Jahannam which is known as Laza. Kya hai? Laza. Someone said to me, Mali Sahab, I want to sell rice, a brand name. Think of a brand name. I used to say that we have basmati, isn't it? Basmati rice. So he said to me, inshallah, I'm going to come out with my own brand. I want you to choose a name for me. I said, okay, that is something tough. I said to him, okay, Laziz. Laziz. That's good enough. Take that. Alhamdulillah. And he took that. But this is not that Jahannam. This Jahannam is known as Laza. Kya hai? Laza. That is Laziz, but this is Laza. And in Laza, that is a chamber, special chamber, only for the Shayateen. and their comrades, all of them will be there, and special angels will be there to handle those shayateen. All the shayateen from the time, well not even from the time of Adam alayhi salam, before that, from whenever Allah created them, jinns had occupied this world, as we have talked on this subject also in the dust. All of them will be there locked up in Laza, that is their chamber, and they will be punished. Kitne huye? Char huye. And the one above that is another Jahannam which is known as Hutama. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَلْ حُطَمَ وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَلْ حُطَمَ. Do you know what is Hutama? And Allah talks about Hutama, that in Hutama, the speciality of Hutama is that it's special fire. Narullah. Allah says it is the fire of Allah. All those who will enter Hutama, the ulama say that Hutama is for the Jews who disrespected all Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, whose hearts were sealed from realizing what is the truth. That fire will not attack the skin, the body, the external part. That fire will attack the heart first. It will burn the heart. And it will burn off the heart. It is said that in this dunya, when, may Allah save us all, one should not punish anyone with fire. Allah save us all. When someone is burnt, before fire reaches deep into the heart, he has already died, passed out, he's expired. But in the case of Hutama, he will be alive, absolutely alive, and his heart will be burning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, this is Hutama. Then above Hutama, a Jahannam which is known as Sa'ir. Kya naam hai? Sa'ir. That Jahannam in there is reserved for the Christians. The Christians will be there. All the Christians. And then Jibreel Amin, again, with that pattern was describing, and he stopped. After the sixth level, he stopped. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Jibreel Amin, you are going to say something, Jibreel, say it. He looked down. He says, Jibreel, I, Muhammad Mustafa, command you, tell me who is on the top level of Jahannam. Jibreel Amin, to make things easy, says, Ya Rasulullah, the top level of Jahannam is that part of Jahannam which is less in degree of punishment with comparison to all the other chambers of Jahannam. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, tell me who will be on the top level of Jahannam, the first level, the top level of Jahannam. Tell me. Hazrat Jibreel Amin looked down, he says, Ya Rasulullah, the top level of Jahannam is for those members of your ummah who die without repenting from major sins. Allahu Akbar. And when Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam heard that, it is in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Aap sallallahu alayhi wasallam fell unconscious. Kitni muhabbat hogi? How much love he must have for the ummah? He fell unconscious. Have we ever had that attitude and that deep love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He fell unconscious, Jibreel Amin lifted Aap sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up and put him on the lap. When he recovered, Aap sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Jibreel, Jibreel, tell me, will my ummah enter that part of Jahannam? And he said, Ya Rasulullah, that is the information that I have been given, and it is for that those of your ummati who will die without repenting from major sins. It is said that Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam walked away from Jibreel Amin and he isolated himself from the people. It was such taklif, difficulty for the companions. For 3 days, Sallallahu alayhi wasalam would not talk to anyone, only would come out to perform salat with jama'at in Masjid Nabawi. Even when Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq came knocking on the door, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not allow him to come. Umar Farooq knocked on the door, radiallahu ta'ala, and Huzur alayhi salam did not open the door. Hazrat Salman al-Farsi came, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not open the door. That is how much of an effect it gave him. Finally, when Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala knocked on the door, one of the wives of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam was there. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in sajda performing salah. It is said that for 3 days, every salat, he would start salat with tears and would terminate salat with tears. And when Hazrat Fatima came in, she saw Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam is mashghul in salat. She waited when Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam finished his salat. She says, Ya Rasulullah, your face has become pale. What has happened? And Abu Sallallahu alayhi wasallam narrated that entire hadith given to him by Hazrat Jibreel Amin. Allahu Akbar. It is said that Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala also started to cry. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued to describe. He said, when my ummah, my group of people will come to Jahannam, the angels will be there. Malik is the doorkeeper of that part of Jahannam, of that part of the highest point of Jahannam. And he will question the angels, who are these people that you are bringing into my Jahannam? Their faces are still bright, their eyes are not blue, their mouths are not sealed, and their faces are not darkened. Who are these people? The angel will say, we have no information of their identity. We were told to bring them to you. And they will enter that part of Jahannam. He said that at that point Malik will command the fire that go and burn them. When fire will come towards them, the ummati of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say, La ilaha illallah. When they say, La ilaha illallah, the fire will return back. Will return back. Malik will be shocked. He will say, who are you people? It is said the level of iman will be so low for those people that they will not even recognize at that time the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They will say, we are the followers of that person upon whom the Quran was revealed, upon whom Roza was obligatory. Malik will say, that is Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam Muhammad Mustafa. And they will say, yes, he is our Rasul. Malik will say, then why did you not obey him? And they will say that the love of this dunya, and we were far away from the sunnah, Hidayat was not with us at that time. After that, Malik will command, give hukam to the fire again. The fire will say, how can we burn those people who hear in the name of Allah? Who hear the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It is said that only then Malik will command by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are not to burn their faces and you are not to burn their hearts because of the iman, iman on their face and iman in their heart. It is said that fire will come and it will burn them. Some will be burnt until the ankles and some until the kneecap. And that is it. And some until the hip. But it will not burn the heart, the top part, and it will not burn the face, and the doors will be locked up. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, let me just finish off what I have started, my respected brothers and elders, inshallah, bear with me. Not all the time, much time will be taken, inshallah. Just to finish off this hadith of Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam, few more minutes. At one point Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to Jibreel, Jibreel, go to the top point of Jahannam and see what has happened to the followers of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jibreel Amin will knock on the door. Malik will open the door. It is said that Malik at that time will be sitting on the minbar. When he says Jibreel Amin, beautiful angel, he will come down out of honor and respect, all respect Jibreel Amin. It is said that he will say, what brings you here? Jibreel Amin will say, Allah has sent me to inquire of the followers of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is said that the ummah of Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam will be all, the skin will be burnt up, they will be as dark as charcoal, except for the face and except for the heart, light will be there. And Malik will say, they are in miserable condition. When they see Jibreel Amin, they will know that, oh, this is not the Farishta of Arab, he is the Rahmat, he is the angel of Rahmat, mercy. And they will say, oh Jibreel, go and convey our message, our Peram to Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam. Dunya mein to text hum kar sakte hai na mobile phone mein. Mere azizu, wahan to in the hereafter, it will only be with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. go and tell our Nabi, Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that due to our sins, we are not with our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He will first return to Allah, and then Allah will say to him, go and return to Muhammad Mustafa and give him the message. It is said that Huzur alayhi salam, in the hadith it comes that he will be in a palace made out of pearls, and that palace, in his, at that time he will be sitting, will have 4,000 doors, each door of solid gold. And that is just one palace of Huzur alayhi salam. The level of Iman will be so low that at that time even Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam will not recognize it. But when the message will be conveyed, sallallahu alayhi wasallam will prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah, and Allah will say, go and make shafa'at. And Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam will go with Jibreel Amin into Jahannam. And imagine when they see the face of Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam, what will happen to them? That is why, my respected brothers, a lot of people without realization, we say, oh, the kuffar are better than the Muslims today. What do we say? Muslimano se kafir acche hai. Arre bhai, aisa mat kaho, kahi Allah tumhare dil se iman nikal de, aur iman unko de de, aur kufr tumhare andar a jaye. Never say that. The lowest of the lowest iman qualifies a person for Jannat one day. And Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam will hold them by the hands, all of them, absolutely, the skin will be burnt up. And Rasulullah alayhi wasalam will take them. It is said that this group of people will be one of the last batch to come out from Jahannam. And when they go towards Jannah, there will be a fountain, the fountain of Rizwan. Abdullah alayhi wasallam will bathe them, go and go inside and make ghusl. And all of them will make ghusl when they come out. Subhanallah, their faces will be shining again, qualifying them to enter Jannah. It is said that on the forehead it will be marked, هَاُولَٰي عُتَقَاءُ مِنَ النَّارَ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ لَيْهِ صَلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ. These are the last batch of people to be emancipated, to be freed from the fire of Jahannam, and they will enter with Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam in Jannah. And this is what is meant by shafa'at. And Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam has that power. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Inshallah, maybe next week we can make the translation of the hadith recited in khutbah. Quite a bit of time has been taken. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to make amal on what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Inshallah, in the next session we will talk about Hawza Kawthar and also Pul Sirat, etc. All the things that one will have to witness on the day of Qiyamah. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Dua akhir lay. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammadin nabiyil ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal afiyata fi dunya wal akhirah. Wa la ilaha illa anta subhanaka inna kunna minaz zalimin. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal afiyata fi dunya wal akhirah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min ridaka wal jannah wa na'udhu bika min ghadabika wan nar. Wa na'udhu bika min ghadabika wan nar. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqi Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa azwajihi wa dhurriyyatihi wa ahli baytihi ajma'in bi rahmatika يا أرحم الراحمين.